This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Are you willing to be led by Jesus? We love the questions, don't we? Luke chapter 24. Let's begin reading from, let's say, verse 36. We'll read to the end of the chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Now, you've got to understand that Jesus has been crucified. He was placed in the tomb, and he's been raised from the dead, and now he hasn't ascended on high. We'll read here that he's about to be ascended into heaven. And so he's walking among the disciples, and he's showing them that this Jesus that was placed upon the cross has a glorified body. And he's saying, you know, look at my body. It's a glorified body. It's no longer bound to this world. It's no longer bound to going through doors. He can just appear, but he's still got a body. So Jesus Christ, so we understand that Jesus Christ in heaven is in a glorified body. That's exactly the same kind of body that we will have one day. We're going to be just like he is. This body's going to put off corruption, and we're going to put on incorruption. They're going to change. We are going to have bodies, and we're not going to be held restrictive to gravity. We're going to be thinking about something. We're going to be able to just, I'm telling you, it's going to be so awesome. I can't even begin to comprehend what it's going to be like in heaven one day. But so Jesus is saying to them, he said, handle me. He says, come shake my hand. Take a look at this body. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands, his feet. And while they yet believed not, yet something else was working on inside them. There was a joy that was rising up on this. And they wondered, and he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and he did eat before them. So we see that Jesus ate this food in this glorified body. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So what Jesus does is he just absolutely validates the Old Testament, and he says, everything in the Old Testament speaks about me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. In other words, it was expedient for him to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now look at verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, And we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Father, I ask that you add your blessing tonight to your word. Lord, I stand here before you knowing that you, by your Holy Spirit, spoke this into my very being. You've been speaking to this house. You continue to speak to us. And now, Lord Jesus, I ask that you completely hide me behind the cross. Be glorified tonight in your word. You said that the prophets, you said that Moses, the prophets and the Psalms all spoke about you. Lord, this Bible is all about Jesus. Now, Lord, give us a revelation of yourself tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we understand that Jesus is in his glorified body. He's risen from the dead. He's revealing himself. You go to the book of Acts chapter 1. You will read more things about Christ as he began to reveal himself to his disciples. In verse 38, we see that Jesus speaks to the disciples, and when he reveals himself, he comes and he speaks peace to them in verse 36. But they were terrified and affrighted. There was such a fear in their heart. This fear is still a carryover from what is taking place. There's been this great persecution against Christ. They've crucified him, and they were scattered. Now they've come back together. They've been to the tomb. The previous verses of Scripture here, two had gone and left Jerusalem. They were on their way to Emmaus. Jesus comes alongside of them. He reveals himself to them. They turn around, they head back, and they come to Jerusalem. And now Jesus reveals himself to the group that is in Jerusalem all together, and he says, "Peace be unto you." But they were afraid. There was fear in their hearts. They were gripped by a fear. There's still this fear of man in their hearts. They don't know if this is a spirit. They don't know who this is. Here is a man who has a body, and yet doors don't hold him back. Walls don't hold him back. Nothing holds this person back. I mean, Jesus would, if he had to manifest himself tonight in our midst, he wouldn't come through the front door. He would just be here. He would just show himself. And he'd say, "Look at my body. It's a body. Give me food." He ate food in front of these people. And he showed himself to have this glorified body. How would you feel if somebody just appeared on stage right now? Didn't open any doors and just appeared. What would it do to you? How many of you would leap to your feet and run for your lives? Because we love Jesus, we think we'd stay and worship him. No, if suddenly somebody appeared and you didn't know where they came from, many of you would leap up and run, calling for security. So this is the condition of their hearts. And so Jesus challenges their hearts, and he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" Now, these words, the word here in the Greek language means, this is what he's saying to them. And because he reads the minds of the people, he understands their very thoughts. So here's this person who just arrives in their midst, just standing right next to them. He arrives and then he says, "Peace." Yeah, right. Where did you come from? How did you get here? And you say, "Peace." And so these thoughts are going through their mind. Who are you? Is this a spirit? How did you get here? And in fact, he says, "Why do these thoughts arise in your hearts?" And the word here in the Greek language means negative and objectionable thoughts or reasonings. So there's objectionable thoughts. They're saying, "Who are you? We don't receive you." Do you know how many people come into the house and we might not tangibly see the Christ here with us, but many come into the house and they've got objectionable thoughts because they feel the presence just like they did. They understood there's a joy. They didn't understand this, but there is a joy in their hearts. It's a strange dichotomy how we can be in the house. We don't see this Jesus, but there's something at work on the inside. There's a joy inside of us. And yet we have these thoughts. How many come into the house and there's these objectionable thoughts in their minds? Why am I here? How about some of you new folk? It's not a coincidence or an accident that you are here tonight. We believe that God brought you here through people who invited you. You may be Christians, you may be not, but you might be sitting here thinking, this is the strangest place I've ever been. I like the building, but I'm not sure I like the people. I'm not even sure I like what went on here tonight. Those are objectionable thoughts that run through your mind, and God knows them. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. I wish he'd hurry up. I got to catch a train tonight. I hope we finish on time. They're singing too long. All of those thoughts are objectionable thoughts, and God knows them. Are you willing to be led? A little more quieter tonight. So this is what he's saying. So when we get to verse 50, we understand that he says, and look what he does here. So they're in Jerusalem, and he speaks to them, and we're going to come back to some of this chapter a little later on in the service tonight. But look at verse 50. He purposes. So here is this resurrected Christ in the midst of his disciples. Or there's like 120 disciples at this point. There's the 11, and then there's 120 as well that are gathered together, or culminatively there's 120. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, which is like about 1,000 cubits, which is like a Sabbath day's walk. It just means out of Jerusalem, down through the valley and up to Olivet, which is Mount Olivet, where he then rises up into heaven. So it's a good walk. It's going to take them about 45 minutes to an hour to get there by foot, because they're going to go down the valley and up on the other side, up to the top of Mount Olivet. And it came to pass while... Now look what he does here. So he takes them up, he leads them out as far as to Bethany or Bethpage or to Mount Olivet, all basically the same vicinity. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Now you've got to understand something tonight. That wherever God leads you, wherever he chooses to take a life and he says, follow me, I want to lead you, it is for the purpose of blessing your life. The whole mindset of God, the whole purposes of God in coming to these people who are afraid that in Jerusalem, the doors are locked, he arrives on the scene, he's in their presence, he takes them out of this place, and he takes them to Bethpage or Bethany or Mount Olivet, and the whole purpose of leading them out, taking them to another place, is for the purpose that God says, I want to bless your life. It's the hardest thing for people to believe that God wants to bless you. We think he'll bless everybody else, and this is why this has been a single theme and a single thought now for the third message running that God has put in my heart. I can't escape it. I've tried. I've said, God, lead me in another direction. But Hebrews chapter 12, just turn with me there real quick. We touched this two messages ago. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. This is verse 1, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Go back to Luke chapter 24. I just wanted to read that verse to you. Now, when you think of it, what is the sin? I covered this extensively two messages ago. I covered extensively. What is the sin that so easily besets us? Now, most of you sitting in the house tonight will think, well, maybe it's because I lie, or maybe it's because I steal, or maybe it's because you commit some kind of a sin that you can't escape from. We're going to deal with that issue tonight. But that's not what the Hebrew writer is talking about. You know some of the issues of your heart that you can't escape from. You know that you're a compulsive liar. And you can't get away from it. You know it. But Jesus wants to lead you out. See, He's leading them out. He led them out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was like a safety place. He's taking them away from religion. He's taking them away from the fear of man. He's taking them away from everything that place represented. He can't bless them in that place. And sometimes Jesus has to lead us out of something before we can see the blessing of God come upon our lives. Sometimes He has to deal with issues of the heart. And so we say, yes, Jesus, lead me, as long as it's to go and win the nations or preach the gospel or give me some great exciting thing to do. But what if Jesus wants to lead you out of a besetting sin tonight? Something that is so deep rooted in your heart that you cannot get the victory. You want the blessing of God and He wants to bless you. But you've got to follow Him. He's going to lead them out. He's leading them out of Jerusalem. You can stay behind. Or you can go with Him. And when He takes them up to the top of Mount Olivet, He stretches out His hands and He blesses them. Now, something that's very interesting in the Greek language is this word blessing. Whenever it is used by God, and Jesus is God, whenever it is used by God, the word as well as the action are always synonymous. Always synonymous. There's no disparity between His words and His actions. So the Bible, when He says He lifted His hands and He blessed them, that there was something that transpired not only in word. Now when we do things, when we say to somebody, bless you, when they're leaving and they're writing, or we write a letter and we write these words, God bless you. What do we mean by God bless you? We don't know. To us, they're words. When I say to somebody, God bless you, I'm thinking, praise God, they're leaving. At least I'm honest. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thanks for coming. Thanks for going. You see, our words are one thing, but our actions are another thing. We say, it's good to see you. Liar. Well, some people we're really happy to see, but then there's other people we say, it's good to see you. But in our hearts, we don't really want to see them. We don't want to. If we see someone coming down an aisle and we got our shopping cart, how often have you turned your cart around as though you didn't see them? They saw you and they saw you turning around. How do you think they feel? And you're going around another side. You see, our words. So next time we see them in church, oh, it's really good to see you. Yeah, right. Why didn't you say that when you saw me in the grocery store? So our words and our actions hardly ever meet together. They hardly ever the same thing. We speak good words, but our actions speak volumes of something else. I pray all the time, God, help my words and my actions to walk together in agreement. God says, can two walk together in agreement unless they are in agreement? No, they can't. Amos 3:3. But how? That's meaning with God. But can I walk in agreement with my words? When I say to my wife, I love her, do I really mean I love her? And those words mean that I'm willing to lay my life down for her. Well, when it comes down to the nitty gritty, if it's her life or my life, who's going to die first? You've got two brothers in a boat and it's sinking and only one life preserver. Well, let's pray. Let's close our eyes and pray. And as soon as he closes his eyes, you grab the thing and you're gone. You see, our hearts are so desperately... James, 1 John chapter 4 verse 20 says, how can you say that you love God and yet you hate your brother? You see the disparity in our lives. We come to the house, we say, God, I love you with all of my heart. Don't touch me. God, I worship you. And we get so annoyed by the people next to us because our life, our words and our actions are not the same thing. And see, this is what he's after. This is what Jesus is after here. He wants these disciples to understand that when he raises his hands, you've just got to think back into the Gospels and understand that when God blesses, the thing with God is that when He spoke, things took place. And we use that illustration all the time in Genesis chapter 1. When God spoke the word, the worlds were created. It's not evolution, it's creational power. When God spoke, it took place. It was created. And so we understand that God's word and His actions are always synonymous. So when Jesus, remember when Jesus is on the hillside, and he's on the hillside and he says to them, well, you feed the people. Well, they don't know how to feed them. Well, where are we going to get money enough to buy bread to feed 5,000 people? We don't have enough money. But we've got a little guy here, he's got some loaves and some fishes. And so what did we see Jesus do? He takes it and he blesses it. He holds it up to heaven. He blesses the bread and he blesses the fish. And so you see that the words of God through Jesus Christ, His words and His actions are the same thing. Does that make sense? So when God speaks something into your life, He's going to follow it with the exact action of what He speaks. So if He says, I'm going to bless you, and in this case, it means that we've got the blessings here. I'm not going to touch them now. I'm going to come back to them. But when He blesses them, His blessing is synonymous with His actions. As He blesses the food, it multiplies and everybody gets fed. So when He says He's going to bless you, it means that He is going to back up the very things that He speaks into your life. Now, He can't do that in Jerusalem. He can't do that because there's the fear of man. There's certain things that are holding them and binding them. So many times for God, for you to realize the blessing of God, He's got to take you out of something. Are you willing to be led? I tell you, beloved, some of the things are the hardest things to deal with. We preach easily and you love to hear us preach and speak these things to you, but we are people just like you are. We've got exactly the same kinds of emotions and feelings that you have. And so there are things that God speaks into my life that rise up inside of me. Can I preach about anger to you? And we're going to touch that tonight. And yet not let God deal with it in me? You see, so He's got to first of all show this inside of my life. So He wants to lead me out. A little while ago, I spoke to you and shared with you how that I came under this tremendous conviction of a deep-seated thing in my life called rejection. And it began to manifest itself in so many ways. Someone would say, you really did very well. And in my heart, I don't believe a word they say. What's the root of that thing? It's rejection. And so until Christ touches that in my heart and deals with it, then I see the blessing of God, what He wants to do. Because He says, if you let me lead you, I will take you out of these things. And you'll see the blessing of God made manifest in your life. And I'm not talking about automobiles and clothing and stuff like that. I'm not even touching that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the presence of God. We're going to see that tonight. That if you let God to lead you, you are going to be blessed. And so we see that he blesses and His action is upon everything that He says. Well, let's get real tonight. Let's talk about some of the things that maybe God wants to lead us out. I shared with you in Hebrews chapter 12, the sin that so easily besets us. Now, every one of us can think of some little thing that we do all the time. Is that my besetting sin? Is my besetting sin this thing of anger, or is it rash speaking, or what is my besetting sin? What is your besetting sin tonight? We can all think of something. There's something in our hearts. Maybe some of you have compromised and you're walking away from God, and now you're rationalizing everything you do and you say it's all right to do these things because your heart is hard. And you rationalize it and say it's okay. It's not okay. But is that your besetting sin? No. See, I believe with all of my heart that what the Hebrew writer is talking about, that the besetting sin that so easily besets us, the sin that so easily besets us, in other words, the sin that comes along and trips me up so quickly. What is that sin? I shared with this two messages back. With all of my heart, I believe it to be unbelief. It's the thing that stalks us. You see, God wants to bless us. The heart of God wants to take us out from the things that hold us back and bless us. And when He says those words, when He blesses, He puts His hands on and He blesses them, He's meaning, I'm going to keep you, I'm going to sustain you. He wants to bless us. But how many of us in the house tonight absolutely 100% believe in our hearts that that is what God wants to do in my life? How many of you are sitting in the house tonight unequivocally, in your heart, unreservedly, you hold and embrace a solid faith knowing that your life is special to God and God wants to touch you, bless you, lead you, guide you, and use your life? How many of you embrace that kind of a thought tonight? Or how many of you sit in the house with a besetting sin called unbelief that trips you up all the time and you think, well, I've seen God's blessing sometimes, but not all the time. Isn't that true? That's what trips us up. These are the things that get a hold of us. And see, in my heart, this is what I believe that God wants to take us out. Some of us are in businesses that are collapsing. Where's the blessing of God in a business that's collapsing? Well, if you let Him lead you and touch the things that are coming up in your heart, you'll see the blessing of God. So He's got to take us out. Sometimes God is going to take us out. How about some of you? Let me give you a scripture. Turn with me in James chapter 4. I can't believe we're already at half the hour. Go real quickly, James chapter 4. Is this making sense to you? I got a long way to go, folks. Pray for your pastor right now to speak with speed. See, James chapter 4 says in verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? So when you've got this struggle going on the inside, this battle, this ferocious battle on the inside that condemns you and it rises up on the inside of you. You see, lust is not something that is just always sexual. This can be a lust for power. There can be a lust for position. There can be a lust for being noticed. There can be, lust is just a desire that is not from God. It's just a desire that's leading you away from God instead of to God. And so that creates this kind of a war on the inside. And so James says, where do these wars come from? They come from inside your own members. You lust, you have not, you kill, you desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight wars and you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss because that you might consume it upon your own lusts or your own desires that reign within you that you haven't given to Christ. Now, every single one of us, at times, these things rise up. How many of you tonight have prayed and said, God, please, can I go out with this person? I know that they're not saved, but God, I love them. They're not Christians. And how many of you have prayed and said, God, please, 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 can you just bless this relationship? You see, sometimes God has got to take you away from relationships that are harming you. There are people that you begin to associate with and mix with. It's going to cause a war on the inside of you. And God says, I've got to take you out of that. Would you let me lead you away from that? Well, God, these are my friends. Why would you want to take me away from these friends? Because they're not good for you. That's why. And says, you want to know the blessings of God? You want to know the fullness? I want to take you out and bless you. God's words and His actions are synonymous. I wouldn't give up God's blessing for anything. Because the day He speaks something into my life, it means He's going to do it. That's what I live for. I want God, it doesn't matter, I've given my life to Christ. I said, God, you can touch me on any single subject in my life, except that one and that one and that one. But that's exactly how you are. How many of you pray and say, God, I want to continue serving you, but I want to keep my old friends? Now, they're not bad people, but they want to go to places that you don't want to go as a Christian. So there's a war in front of you. There's a struggle inside of you. I shared this testimony with you just recently because I've just come back from this vacation with where I went to go and paint with all of these artists. And beloved, it was wonderful to be around these people. They just, none of them are Christians. And they like to drink wine and drink and eat cheese. I don't know why they like wine and cheese. What is with the artist world and wine and cheese? I have no idea. Maybe Christians and coffee, they're asking the same question. So, but see, you can be in there, but not of it. You can be anywhere in the world. God isn't wanting to take you out of this world. Otherwise, He would have done that immediately. He wants us in the world, but He wants you to lead you away from that as your source of strength or identity and relationship. He says, if you let me lead you away from this. But God, in every war inside of me, I don't want to leave these things. How many of you have got this unbelief that God really will bless you, and you're afraid that if you walk away from this, that the blessings of God will not materialize in your life? It's the besetting sin of unbelief. But yet He wants to lead us out so that He can raise His hands and bless us, because the blessing of God is synonymous with His word. His actions, the moment God says, I'm going to set you free, and you receive that in your heart, you're free, man. Because He's going to do everything in His power to get you out of that situation. So some of you need to be led out of relationships. You need to be led out of... God needs to lead you away from those people that you're making friends with, those situations that you're involved in. It's not good for you. It's going to harm you. It's going to deaden your heart towards the things of God. You can't have the world and God, because there is a war involved. It'll fight within you. Does this make sense? The battle. So why have the battle? I don't like the battle. I don't like the struggle. I go with God, and we see the blessings of God come into our lives. Amen? Let me give you another one real quick. Listen to this. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. I want to show you that with every battle, the battle is unbelief. Because here this person wants these things, but unbelief doesn't get them because they know in their hearts that God is not going to bless that. But look at chapter 14 of Exodus and verses, look at verse 9. We start reading from verse 9 or verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, so the children of Israel are coming out of Egypt, they by the Red Sea, the desert is on the one side, the Egyptians are behind them, and the Red Sea is on this side. There's no escape. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. The Bible says that they were sore afraid. That means so exceedingly fearful that it sapped all of their strength. That's what the word means. It means that that fear paralyzed them. They were so exceedingly fearful that they were paralyzed. They couldn't move. I've been in situations like that where fear grips the heart so bad that you're paralyzed. You can hardly speak. Your vocal cords can't even speak out a word because fear grips the heart. And every single time where there is fear in the heart. Now, you see, Jesus wants to lead them out. They were fearful. They're in Jerusalem. They're in a house, an upper room, the door is locked. They're afraid. They're afraid to step out because they're afraid they're going to lose their life. They've seen the beginning of persecution. They've seen what they've done to Christ. There's a fear in their heart. I don't know if I want to serve God like this. I don't know. Lock the doors. They could be coming up the stairs. Come on, quickly, lock the doors. There's a fear in their hearts. But God wants to lead them out of that. That's why He says He leads them out of Jerusalem. I'm going to show you. If you walk with me, I'm going to lead you out. See, some of you are so captivated by things in your heart that you know that you can't get out of them. But the promise of Almighty God is that His word and His action to you are the same thing. So if He says, I'm going to lead you out of this, He's going to take you so far away from fear. He's going to leave it behind in that walled city, and He's going to take you out of Mount Olivet, and He's going to bless you. That's the promise of Almighty God. You don't have to live another single day, another single moment of fear of losing your job. Not another day of fear of losing your spouse. Not another day of fear of someone going to steal something from you or kill you when you go home. There's a lot of people who live in terrible areas. And they feel like they're being stalked every single night that they go home. They get on the train and they're looking around them. There's a fear. There's people who fear. They don't want to get on subways. They don't want to do... We know it's a dangerous place. We know that there's danger everywhere around about us. Beloved, there's danger anywhere you go. But the promise of Almighty God is that I will lead you out of this. Do you want to go? Do you want to be led out? Do you want to be led out of those things that are destroying your life? Do you want to be led out of fear? God will lead you out if you will just say, yes, Lord, let me go. You see, what's going to motivate us is that God is going to be honorable to His word. When I walk away from something, I'm walking into something else. And what I'm walking into is by far greater what I'm leaving behind. You've got to understand that. You've got to understand that the devil will come and lie to you and say, what you're leaving behind, look what you're giving up, look what you're leaving behind. You're going to go serve God and go to a foreign field and die. Yeah, then I get to go to heaven a lot quicker. Because what I'm leaving behind and what I'm going to are two different things. It's night and day. I'm going into His presence. I'm going into everything that God has promised. I can hardly wait to get back to Luke to show you these things. Let me touch one thing more real quick. Wherever there is fear, there's unbelief. Did you bring us here to kill us? The very words that come out of their mouth is unbelief. Now look at Exodus chapter 17. I want to touch on one other thing. I've got several here, but I'll just do this one, then we'll go back to Luke and close. Luke chapter 17. Look at verse 2 and 3. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. See, they've seen this miracle. They've gone through the Red Sea. Now they come into the wilderness. They get thirsty. And there's no water. And verse 2 of chapter 17, Exodus 17, verse 2 says, wherefore the people did chide with Moses. You know what that word chide means? It means to strive, to contend, to quarrel, to be adversarial, to have a controversy. In other words, you're as mean as a junkyard dog. That's what it means. It means that inside of you, you've got a mean spirit. You see, these people had a mean spirit. They couldn't stand back and say, Moses, we're thirsty, but you know, we've seen what God has done. And we're willing to trust God. We're willing to be led. Lead us. You take us. And if this is what God had in mind, you know, praise God, we get to be with Him. But there was a mean spirit. Beloved, God wants to deliver some of you tonight from a mean spirit. Some people have such mean spirits. Boy, you cross them, boom, and you are dead meat. There's something that rises up that some people have an ability to think on their feet. I'm not exactly like that. I get into a confrontation. I'm so surprised by a confrontation. It's only like 20 minutes later, I can think of 15 things I could have said to that person. Oh, if only I could get back into that conversation. This is what I would say. This is what I would say. And then I'd get back to my wife and I'd say, you know, there's a few other things I could have said to that person. So I mull on that thing day and night. Until the thing has consumed my life. But there's some people who can think on their feet. They're so mean-spirited that they can... You just cross them. You just take their seat, man. I tell you what, something erupts inside of them. And these are the same people who are worshiping God. And they've just about wanted to kick you out of church, call security, drag you out. It's the truth. It's the truth. They chided. These are the people of God. These are people of God. And they chided. They had a controversy. You see, beloved, anger, an angry spirit doesn't work the righteousness of God. Some of you are so quick to get angry. Some of you are so quick, and you can't believe that God can set you free from it. See, what I'm saying to you tonight is that God took them out and in order to bless them. Sometimes God is going to bring you out of those old relationships in order for you to see the blessing of God. Sometimes He's going to lead you. You've got to say, God, lead me away from this thing, this fear that grips my heart. And sometimes you've got to come to the place. You see, I can't get myself free from anything. You can't get yourself free either. None of us can set ourselves free. These things are resonant at times so powerfully within us. Doubt, unbelief, so many things that crowd the heart. But the promise of God, this is why the scripture is so powerful in the book of Luke. You go back to Luke chapter 24. This is why this verse of scripture is so powerful. This is why I believe the Holy Ghost put on my heart. Is because God says, I want to lead you out of this walled city. The city that's got you captivated. You're in fear. You've got the doors locked. There's areas in your life that you won't surrender to me. But if you lead me out, I will bless you. I will take you out of these things and bring you into a place where I'm going to bless you. Let me touch some of these blessings that God has in store. Look at this in verse 36. Blessing number one, peace. That means untroubled and undisturbed presence of God in my life. So everything can be collapsing round about me, but God says, I'm going to give you peace. This is my blessing. When I lead you, regardless of the war you might be going into, you are going into this thing with undisturbed peace in your heart. You will know what it is to be calm when before you were mad. I'm going to give you such a deep-seated peace that you're going to know the presence of God. See, this is what he's saying. He says, this is the blessings of God. Look at verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. See, beloved, the blessing of God is simply this, that every single thing that you've ever done wrong in your life, God is willing to say to you, I forgive you. That you are absolutely clean, free from anything that holds you back from fellowship with God. So if you have slipped up, stumbled, fallen, or you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, the promise of God is this. If you let me bring you to myself, then my blessing is this. I will forgive you of every single thing in your life. There will be nothing in your life that God will ever point a finger at. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Peace. Forgiveness of sin. That He'll never hold those things against your life. How many of you stumbled today? Don't put your hands up. How many of you stumbled, got mad, maybe even yelled and even cussed? Or you erupted or things took place today and you don't like it. But you haven't believed God that He can set you free. The promise of God is, I will lead you out of this thing and bless your life with peace. I'm going to bless you with forgiveness. I will forgive you. I'll cleanse you. I'll forgive you. I'll hold nothing against your life at all that you can have fellowship with me. This is the blessing of God. Look what he says here in verse 49. Chapter 24 of Luke, verse 49 says, and behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. In other words, I'm going to give you power from on high. He says, the promise of the Father is that I will give you the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Ghost rests upon you, there will be a new strength living on the inside of you. Beloved, I have learned in my life that when the enemy comes and there is a battle going in my life, I just turn to the Holy Ghost inside of me who has the strength to lead me away from that thing. See, some of you can't walk away from that lust. Some of you can't walk away from the fear. Some of you can't walk away from that anger. But the promise of God is, I am going to lead you out, and my word and my action will be synonymous. And the power of the Holy Ghost is right there. So when the thing rises up, the Holy Ghost is such a calming influence. He says, just turn the other cheek.
What?
Just turn the other cheek.
Are you sure?
Just turn the other cheek. Peace. It's the promise of God. The promise of God is that He's going to bring deliverance to everybody. And this is the promise that He gives us. He says, I'm going to give you number 45, by the way, is another blessing which I didn't give to you, and that is he opened the understanding to the Word of God. One of the blessings of God, when he raised his hands and he blessed them, he opened their minds to the Word of God, that when you read this thing, you read the revelation of God to your soul. When you open the Bible, how many of you have had this Bible as a dead word, a dead letter to your life? But you see, the promise of God, the blessing to you, is that when you open the pages and you begin to read, the promise of God, the blessing of God, is that you will suddenly see that this is a message to your heart. He'll open your understanding. He'll give you revelation to the Word of God, that you can feed on it day in and day night. Give you the power of the Holy Ghost. And he blessed them. Isn't that marvelous? Verse 15. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Verse 52. They worshipped and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. See, the end product, the devil lies and says, if you leave this, your life is going to be miserable. God says, no, what I'm going to give you is going to far exceed everything that this world can ever offer to you. And the end result is exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Where anything can come your way and all you got is this percolating joy. Like a percolating coffee just keeps percolating all the time. Man, people think you're boiling, and yes, you are. But not in the old way. You are just percolating with the joy of Jesus in your heart. That's the promise of God. If you say, Lord, lead me out of this unbelief. You see, tonight, beloved, you have got to come to the place and say, God, if you even have to confess and say, my besetting sin is this. I don't believe that you will do it for me. So he calls that in Hebrews the besetting sin. It's unbelief. So confess it as a sin. If it's a sin, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Confess it. Give it to him. And let him lead you into everything that he has promised that he'll give to you. If you're not saved tonight, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you, you're not going to be leaving anything behind. You're going to be gaining eternity. Amen? Let's stand together. Sorry I took so long. Father, I pray tonight for every person in Jesus' name. We're so fearful to be led. We're so fearful to confront those issues of our heart. We're fearful. We are so fearful because we're afraid of exposure. We're afraid of being ashamed. We're afraid of what people may think or what even our own heart thinks. But Lord, your promise is that if you let me lead you, I'll take you away from those things and hold you captive and give you my blessing in return. Now, Lord Jesus, do your work in every heart that says, this is what I want tonight. In Jesus' name. Listen to this psalm, Psalm 46. Go home tonight. After this prayer at this altar tonight, you go home tonight and you take this song and God will make it real to your hearts. Listen to this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Not just words, but actions as well. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. See, things are going on in the life of the believer, even though everything's falling apart around about you. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear asunder, he burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, I want to be led. Lord, lead me out of the strong city. Lead me out of religion. Lead me out of the fear of man. Lead me out of the things that disturb my soul that I don't want to face. The pride, the angers, the Lord, the evil desires, everything of the flesh that would cause me to stumble. God, I want to be led tonight. I come as a pastor and I say to Jesus tonight, Lord, I want to be led. You show me anything in my life. Lead me out. Because the blessings that you have when you raise your hands over our lives are eternal blessings. They blessings of your word. They blessings of your spirit. They blessings, Lord, of your power. They blessings of your presence. They blessings of God that there's no match in this world to compete with. And I thank you for that. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, you know my fears, my trepidations, my unbelief. You know what trips me up so quickly. I confess it. I give it to you this night. And I ask you, Jesus, to lead me. And I believe and I trust that wherever you lead is into a place of eternal blessings. That's what I want. That's what I desire. In Jesus' name. And I believe that when you speak it to my heart, you will perform it. In Jesus' name. I receive it, believe it, and walk in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now give him thanks tonight, beloved. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Lord, we worship you.
This is the conclusion of the message.